Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fired up on a Tuesday morning. Welcome in. It is Ben and Woods, except for one more day. It's Ben and Paul. Woodsy's vacation wrapping up momentarily. And they should be flying back to San Diego later today. And we will have the return of our co-host tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. But it's been a fun 6 days without Woods. No, it's not exactly fun, no, Paulie. Good morning, Paul Reindl is here, our executive producer and co-host extraordinaire for the week. Good morning, Paulie. How has it gone for you? Six days without Woods.
Fun wouldn't be the first word I use.
It's harder.
It's been fun. Like, we've had good shows. It's just I wouldn't go there first. I'd say it's been longer days and more work.
It's been, you know what? I think it's gone mostly well over the last 6 days. We've had some good moments. We've had some decent shows. It's never going to be quite Ben and Woods without Woods here. And I would hope you'd feel the same way on days when I'm here. We certainly feel it the same way when you're not here, Paulie, which is going to be happening later this week. You've got a vacation planned as well. So yeah, we're going to have Adam in, you just told me, on Thursday and Friday. I didn't know. I thought maybe Italian Paul would be in.
Is it extra sweet because it's against the Dodgers?
And we love Adam. He's great. But it's definitely a different vibe when he's sitting there in the... He loves pushing the buttons at inappropriate times.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He doesn't have your sense of timing when it comes to the drops.
No, it's like a kid in a candy store, and he just comes in.
All right. Hey there,
Delilah. Word two.
Doggy style.
Shout out to his family.
It's pretty much like when Bo Woods operated the board.
And game just started, over.
Hey!
Everybody put your hands in the air.
Just started pressing buttons. That's what Adam's like. He's running the controls for the show.
Bo has actually a little bit better timing.
Can you put like a password protect on some of them just so he doesn't have access to everything while you're gone?
Ring, ding, dong. Ring a ding, ding, ding,
show,
dong.
Bitch.
Oh. You know what? I will say, though, your drops make me sound sometimes friendlier than I am, because I honestly, and I felt bad about this morning.
Oh, boy. Did you have another run-in with your coffee?
No, I was fine. I got to our Odyssey studios, and you know, as you probably know if you've heard, we have nice studios here. They're up on the sixth floor of a fairly modern building. We got windows. It's a nice office space that we got. The studio is gorgeous. So you arrive and you let yourself into the building. And when I arrive, obviously, and same with you, I'm sure, Paulie, it's very early in the morning. It's dark and you're usually just walking in by yourself. Big empty parking lot, big building. You don't see anyone. And this morning I start walking in and there's another guy who's walking in from the opposite direction to the same door that I am.
Oh, boy.
Looks like he's probably a normal guy just going to work early on one of the other floors. And, you know, we get to the door at the same time, and he opens it with his key card. He holds the door for me, which is very nice. And
that was nice.
I walk in, but I know what's going to happen next. He's heading for the elevator, and I don't want to have to make small talk in the morning. And I'm kind of embarrassed about this. So there's a bathroom down on the first floor. I fake as though I have to go to the bathroom just so I don't look like I'm getting into the elevator with him, and then as soon as he gets in and the door closes, I turn around and head and get my own elevator, because we have a bank of three elevators, and I can take my own up, and I don't have to make 11 seconds of small talk while he's going up to the third floor or the fourth floor or whatever in our building. Is that just horrible of me to do that? I just don't want to make small talk at, you know, 5:15 in the morning or whatever time it is.
What kind of small talk do you think you're going to have?
Nothing. It's probably no more than, hey, good morning.
If that.
It's so awful.
Maybe, what, number four? Okay, I got you.
It's so awful. And I totally faked, like, I had to walk over to the bathroom just to avoid getting in an elevator with a stranger that I didn't know for maybe 15 seconds tops.
It's like a new twist in the evolution of Ben Higgins.
Carla says, I've done that. Sometimes I just don't want to talk to people, LOL. I mean, I know, you know, I know he's not coming up to the sixth floor.
Did he look chatty?
Not really. I mean, how do you, what does a person look like that looks chatty?
I don't know how to describe it. I just know.
He looked a lot like our engineer Mike, who's here. It wasn't Mike. I would have gone up with a colleague and a coworker, but this was a stranger. And you
I didn't know he wasn't a colleague.
Well, it's true. With me, I don't know half the people who work here, but usually I know most of the people who are here at 5:15 a.m. because there's four people here at 5:15 a.m. So I can recognize at least those people, even if I don't know all of their names. I know most of their names, but maybe not all of them. So,
well, I'm just glad you didn't like take out your phone and fake a phone call or something to avoid talking to this poor person. Like that would,
yeah,
been, that would have been uncomfortable.
I see that in the chat. You know, you take out your phone and pretend you're on the phone. That's not really an option at 5:20 a.m.
Right?
Oh yeah, you got a busy.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've got a busy phone call.
Sixth floor.
He's on the East Coast. This is 8:20 where I'm calling him. I had to get up early for an important phone meeting at this time. So can't really do that. I mean,
has this happened before?
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times before. Obviously, it's rare.
Next time, will you do a social experiment and just
get in the elevator,
muster the strength, and get on the elevator and see if he says any more words than "Hey, good morning"?
I'm sure he wouldn't have. He might not have said anything. We may have gone up in silence, but that also would have been somewhat.
It only takes
awkward.
A few seconds to get all the way up to the sixth floor. He's probably getting off on the third floor.
I know.
It's the blink of an eye, and he's already up there.
I get it. Elisa says airplane talkers are the worst. Have you ever sat next to a stranger on an airplane who wanted to talk your ear off for the whole flight?
Probably, but I put my headphones on. Like, I walk onto the plane with my headphones on, and they don't
really
come off. All
right, well, then you're pretty much than me on an elevator, except on an airplane.
Yeah, except I'm not faking going to the bathroom to avoid the person.
Yeah, I get it, Ray. He opened the door for me and everything. He did. Well, technically, you're not supposed to do that, because I could have been an intruder trying to get into the building, waiting to time it to look like I was an employee to walk in. So
proper protocol would have wanted him to slam the door in your face and prove.
I mean, isn't that
pull out your key card?
Isn't that technically how the building security is supposed to work? The proper protocol would be to be extremely rude. And if I got there first, I would open the key card and I'd go,
"You're right.
I'm sorry, I can't let you in," and then close the door so he has to then open it with his own key card. That's technically the proper procedure to go into an office building after hours, correct? I don't know who he is. He doesn't know who I am.
I've held the door open for others before.
I do too, because we live, as George Costanza says, in a society, and you feel like if someone's there, you have to open the door for them, even though technically, you know, JR would say, you're not supposed to open the door. Did you check his credentials? Did you ask him? I'm not going to ask him to show me his key card and his credentials. If he's walking in, I probably assume he's supposed to be here. That's why it's probably pretty easy to break into a building, because you just prey on people's insecurities and let them in at 5:15 in the morning, even though it's kind of suspicious to be going into a building this early, even though we're supposed to be here at this time.
Here in the chat, Bean says he's an airplane talker. If you have headphones on, I will try and talk to you. Beans, you should be arrested. I'll be on an airplane on Friday. Anybody tries to talk to me while my headphones are on and they do not work for the airline,
has anyone ever
they should be arrested.
Tapped you on the shoulder just because
no
they
fly
need
list,
to get your attention? You've got headphones on. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap.
I think I would be defending myself if I punched them in the nose.
Oh. Happy National Root Beer Float. We haven't gone through. You dutifully put in all the national days, and Woods is a little bit better about kind of going through them and checking them, and I don't, and I'm sorry, Pauly.
It's okay.
But that one caught my eye this morning because I love the idea of a root beer float. I wish I liked root beer floats. I don't like root beer.
I don't either.
But the idea of the idea of a root beer, a frosty, frothy root beer float with a scoop of vanilla ice cream sounds amazing. And I'm sorry that I don't like it because I just have never liked root beer.
I've done it with other sodas.
Yeah, you know, Coke float or,
Coke,
you know,
or done it, orange but, soda is my favorite.
Yeah, like an orange sickle, a cream sickle. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But the traditional is the root beer float.
Right.
And I feel like I'm missing out on something. Is there anything that you wish you liked but you don't like? I got yesterday.
I have to think about it, honestly, I will pretty much give anything a chance.
No, I mean, anything I wish. But you
like.
Just don't. There's just things you don't like, and you know whether it's from childhood and you never got to like them. For instance, yesterday, I think it was my colleague Michael Chen had brought in these cookies from somewhere, but really good, like gourmet looking cookies, but they had like nuts and stuff in them. And I don't like nuts in my cookies. And I go, I wish I liked nuts in my cookies because that looks like a really good cookie. But I don't. So I'm not going to eat this and you can just give it to someone else. And I feel bad, but I just, you just don't like it. But I wish I did. But you can't make yourself like something you don't like. You can try. You can be open-minded. I'm very open-minded. I've tried all kinds of different foods, and I've even, you know, started like things sometimes that I didn't like before. But there's just a few things out there you just, I don't think you're ever going to like. And that's okay. What don't you like? Like, what's a food you just don't like?
I'm just a little bit taken aback still.
About what?
You know what? Nuts in your cookies. I don't like tomatoes or pickles.
Okay, tomatoes
are like condiments, and they come with salads, burgers,
sure,
etc.
Tomatoes seems like that would be a hard thing to not like.
It's weird.
You're okay with tomato sauce, though.
Okay with tomato sauce, okay with ketchup, okay with...
So it's a textural thing, not necessarily a flavor thing.
Like, if I go to Jersey Mike's and I get it Mike's Way, no tomatoes. I don't know what it is. Never been a fan of pickles. Have to take them off. But I don't wish
but
that
you don't
I
wish
like
that you
pickles.
Like it. It's not, it's like, taking a tomato off something, I don't think is a big deal. If you can like tomato sauce, you can eat Italian food and pizza with no problem.
Right.
Then you're really, I don't think you're missing out on tomatoes too much. Just sliced tomatoes aren't the,
I think that's what it is.
The greatest
sliced,
thing in life.
Juicy. I mean,
I like a good caprese salad, but I mean, if I didn't ever have another one the rest of my life, I think I'd probably be fine. It's not the end of the world. If I didn't like tomato sauce, I think that would be tough. Because a lot of really
like,
good food contains tomato sauce.
I don't like super
sauce.
Spicy food, and everybody that I know that likes it loves spicy food. Whether it's Flamin' Hot Cheetos to level whatever Thai food, anything like they love super spicy wings. I can't do it. Give me the mild or the medium wings. But everybody seems to go crazy for the spicy, so I guess I wish I had a better palate for spicy food.
I can do the base level of spicy. A buffalo wing, but I'm never going to do like double X. I'm never going to give it to me extra spicy.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the normal level of spiciness.
Do you like nuts in your wings?
Nuts in my wings?
You don't like nuts in your cookies. I was just wondering what you do and don't like nuts on.
Well, it's really the kind of nuts that they put in cookies. It's generally
nuts.
Not peanuts. I like peanuts. I'm okay with maybe like some kind of almonds, but like walnuts and pecans, the ones they usually chop up and put in cookies, I do not like those in anything. So
what's your favorite cookie?
My favorite cookie is probably an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Oh,
to be
great
honest.
Call, Benjamin.
Yeah.
Woods would probably call us deviants, but I'm right there with you.
Thank
I love
you.
A good oatmeal raisin cookie.
Softer texture.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. Now, chocolate chip cookies are delicious. Especially the ones that are really, I like kind of the crispier, caramelized chocolate chip cookie as opposed to the
chocolate chip
soft
cookie. Just kind of seems like not a give up. It's good, but it seems like the vanilla ice cream of cookies.
A little bit, yeah.
It's the base.
It's basic. It's good.
It's the absolute base, and it's fine.
Well,
cookie talk.
There we go.
And nuts.
Foreplay done. Last foreplay without Woods. We made it through. Now we've got to get the rest of the 3 hours and 45 minutes. Now, we do actually have a really good show here for you on the final day of Woods' vacation. We'll tell you all about it, set the menu coming up in our next segment. But I will warn everybody, Jesse Agler is going to be with us a little bit early today from Pittsburgh, 3 hours ahead. So that's about 15 minutes away. So stay tuned. Voice of the Padres coming up and then more with Ben and Paul. It is Tuesday morning. Chat, good to see you. Glad to have everybody with us. Let's check traffic with Kelly Danick on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we have a lot of Padres season ticket members who are in the Tier 1 audience, and we have other people who will only go to a handful of games, and some who just watch on television. Everyone consumes their Padres baseball in their own way, but if you are a season ticket member, you probably got a letter last night from Eric Grubner, the CEO of the Padres, talking about renewals for the 2025 season. If you're not, I'd imagine you're still probably curious about what that letter had to say. And we did get a copy of the letter that season ticket members received announcing that in 2025, the Padres would be asking for what they're calling a small ticket price increase for season ticket member seats in 2025 that is, quote, significantly less than prior year increases. What does that mean mathematically in your wallet? Well, we can certainly discuss. I saw a number of mixed reactions from Padres fans yesterday, and we can discuss it this morning. I think the math that I saw was that the overall increase is 3%. For season tickets from this season to next season. Yeah, which means some maybe a little bit more than 3%. And actually, according to the Padres, some tickets will be even down a little bit, depending on where you're sitting and what your section is. Individual mileage may vary. But obviously, this is kind of always a loaded subject for Padres fans. And we're going to be talking about it this morning here on Ben and Woods. If you have season tickets, if you have some thoughts, we'll invite your phone calls coming up in our next hour. But I can tell you that at 8 o'clock this morning, we will be joined by Padres CEO Eric Grubner, who, no coincidence that he's coming on today to promote the fact that season ticket renewals are now going out.
What timing?
And I'm sure he will have his own argument. And I'm not going to say how you feel is right or wrong. You may be fine with a small increase. You may be outraged by a small increase. You know, Padres on the field, the product this year has been immensely better than last year's product. More enjoyable, more exciting wins, better place in the standings. They're currently tied for the top wild card spot with both the Braves and the Diamondbacks, who won last night. And it's shaping up to be an exciting last couple of months of the season, which was not the case last year. Last year, however, they had a higher payroll. They were investing more into the team, and clearly they scaled back on the payroll. So you could say, well, is it fair to pay more for a better product, or is it fair to pay less because they're paying less for their players overall? No one can argue that the Padres haven't invested a huge amount more in salary over the last few years than ever before in franchise history. You know, gone all the way up to number three in baseball. I think last year they're still right around the top half of baseball this year, even after cutting back on a little bit of salary in the offseason. And I don't think people care that much. If they're winning, you'd rather have the team with the lowest payroll that wins every year than the one with the highest payroll that misses the playoffs. I know that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, I think that the cost to fans should also somewhat reflect the expenses to the team going into what they're paying. And Padres do a really good job of keeping up Petco Park. There was a mention that they're going to continue to make additional impactful improvements to Petco Park this coming offseason. Obviously, huge investments last year in the new Gallagher Square and some of the things that they've done to try to improve the fan experience. So it's a complicated question and one that I'm happy to discuss with the Tier 1s, the season ticket members, and anyone who has thoughts, which we will get to coming up later today if you want to join us and talk about that. But again, Eric Grubner will be with us at 8 o'clock this morning. And then after Eric Grubner is done, coming in studio with us around 8:35 for the final 90 minutes or so, going to get to know a little bit about one of my colleagues at Channel 10. Wally Aliu is our evening anchor along with Kimberly Hunt. He's been here, I'd say, about a year in the market. He worked last in Boston, but that's not where he's from. And I honestly don't know everything about Wally's background. We just redid our newsroom, and our desks are next to each other now. So I'm kind of getting to know him better. But he's personable. He's a nice guy. He's a sports fan. And I thought, why don't you come in? Woods is not here today. We'll just have a good time, shoot the breeze, get your thoughts on some stuff. So we'll see what kind of energy he brings. Normally an evening work guy like me on television, but we're getting him up in the morning. I didn't make him get up before like us and be here at 6 o'clock, but he's going to be here at 8:30 for the last 90 minutes. First half of the show, as I mentioned, though, we got Jesse Agler coming up in our next segment, joining us from Pittsburgh as the Padres open a 6-game road trip tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we'll play the Incorporator, our new version of the Incorporator that started last week, Song Lyric Incorporator. And we've got a special selection for Jesse.
Good one today.
That hopefully he'll be able to tackle in tonight's broadcast, along with side Bob Scanlon, who is with him on the trip and will be doing radio as Tony takes the road trip off. So he's got Bob alongside of him, which always changes the dynamic a little bit because Bob's done the Incorporator before. So he may be aware. He's shown an awareness in the past of what's been going on.
Yeah.
But when you're traveling, he's probably not paying attention as much. We'll see what goes on.
We got the new version of the Incorporator, so maybe this
totally
just
different
slides right by.
Exactly. So Jesse's next, and then 7 o'clock we'll have Take on John one more time. Have we texted him? He's good for one more. He's been great the whole time that Woods has been gone. John Flint's come in and play Take on John for a chance to qualify for our new trip to Las Vegas, Resorts World, Carrie Underwood tickets coming up at 7:10. Don't do this at 7:20, and then should be a good show today, but let's take a break so we can get to Jesse on the back end. And when we come back, we'll head out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for a little Jesse Agler talk to start the road trip coming up next. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. If your supply chain demands a flexible workforce, hire with Express Employment Professionals. With contract and full-time workers from Express Employment, you get the staff you need and manage contingent labor costs. Learn more at expresspros.com. That's expresspros.com. Thought this was kind of a Padres show, but looking in our YouTube chat, it's more of a cookie show now, with everybody sharing what cookies they like after we talked about it in foreplay this morning. Paulie and I both kind of oatmeal raisin guy. Nothing against chocolate chip, but snickerdoodles are good.
Yeah.
People like the Biscoff cookies. They're kind of like ginger snaps, sort of, that you get on the airplane sometimes. I always like when I get one of those.
White chip macadamia nuts.
See, and again, macadamia nuts fall in the category of nuts I don't want in my cookies, Paul. So
I don't know which nuts you like and which nuts you don't like.
I know. I'm complicated. Now, peanut butter cookie with peanuts, I will eat a peanut butter cookie every day of the week. All right, we got Jesse standing by. Let's get to traffic. The voice of the Padres and the Incorporator joins us on the other side here on 97.3 The Fan. Out we go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, joined by Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres. And Jesse, everybody wants to know, put you on the spot here.
Good.
What's your favorite kind of cookie, Jesse?
My favorite kind of cookie?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know, tough question, right?
Yeah, and I hadn't spent a lot of it. You know what? I'm not doing great right now. But generally in life, I try to avoid sweet.
We know.
I'm on
yes,
a bad
we
run.
Know. We know.
Yes, you're so disciplined.
Run. Responsible and healthy, yeah. Especially on the road, Jesse. We get it.
Yeah, but I'm a big sucker for Oreos.
Huh?
I just think They're delicious. And I assume you kind of meant like, oh, chocolate chip, oatmeal, raisin, that kind. I don't like snickerdoodles, I can tell you that.
Fair.
But I love Oreos. Like, ever since I was a kid, like, it's just perfect. It's perfect.
I freeze them, and I especially like the mint-filled Oreos in the freezer.
Okay. Well, you're very fancy.
I am very fancy. We know this about me. Jesse, how's Pittsburgh? How was the travel, the day off, seeing yesterday?
I would call it sightseeing, but, you know, I walked around for a while. I love Pittsburgh. I always tell people, you know, if like a random fan asks me, hey, I want to do a road trip with the Padres this year, you know, where should I go that's not obvious? Because, like, I always say, of course, you want to try and get Wrigley if you can, or New York, or, you know, whatever, San Francisco. And Pittsburgh and Milwaukee are, like, always the two sleeper ones I mentioned to people that, you know, if you can make the travel work and it works with your schedule, you know, it's a great ballpark. It's a great city. And the cool thing right now is really thanks very largely to Paul Skeens, who pitched on Sunday, so we won't see him here, which is probably a good thing, is that they're into it right now. I mean, it's a great sports town. They love their Buccos. Obviously, the Steelers are, you know, sort of the rulers of the roost here, but they've always, always shown up for the Pirates when the Pirates have given them a reason to show up. And sadly, for, you know, most of the last 25 years, they haven't given the fans a reason to show up. But this year, they're into it, certainly on Skeens Day, but the team is right in that wild card mix, you know, along with three quarters in the National League, of course. And it seems like there's a real vibe around the Pirates right now, which is great because, you know, again, it's a great fan base. And, you know, you're happy for fan bases like this that sort of get the opportunity to get back into it and for the team to have sort of earned that from the fans. You know, and it's a smaller level, obviously, than what's going on in San Diego with all the sellouts. But it's starting to happen again here in Pittsburgh. And hopefully they continue to have a little bit more success. And hopefully they're able to, you know, keep this thing going for quite some time, because these are definitely fans here who deserve more than what they've gotten.
Now, Jesse, you mentioned Paul Skeens, and you said in your answer there that we missed him this time around, yeah. And that's probably a good thing. And I'm curious, do you think that's a good thing? Or maybe I'm asking if Jesse Agler were to put himself in a Padres uniform and you were on the team, would you want to face a Paul Skeens? Like, no, you know what? I'm up for the challenge. I want to see what this kid's got. Or are you like, hey, man, we're in a pennant race here. We're in a wild card race. Like, if we miss their ace, like, that's good for us.
So I have three. It's a great question. I got three different answers for you from, like, three different personalities, right? So announcer Jesse is, of course, a little bit disappointed, because it'd be great if he was pitching tonight and the place was packed and there was all that energy. Like, that'd be awesome. Like, I would love that. Okay, so that's announcer Jesse. And then, you know, to what you said, if I were like the starting, you know, right fielder or whatever, like, hell yeah, I'd want Paul Skeens starting tonight. I absolutely would. I would want to be able to, you know, I want to be the team that gets to him, you know, for the first time. I want to be the team that only strikes out twice in six innings or five innings or something like that. You know, I want to be the team that knocks him around, you know, so absolutely. But then, like, yeah, the third one, which is, I guess, at the moment at least, my sort of like overriding one, is that perspective of, hey, man, this team's got to win as many games as they can. And anytime you miss somebody's ace, that's a positive. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely like an entertainment and a competitive aspect that you would love to see the guy. But it's August now. And, you know, every game matters. Every game is important. Every game is sort of, you know, relevant to what could be in the postseason. So I'm not going to turn away something like that happening. Not to say that they don't have other good pitchers. They do. You know, by the way, the reason that were a big reason that the Buccos were okay trading Martin Perez away to the Padres was that, you know, they felt like they had enough starting pitching. Like, they've got some really good starters. So it isn't just Paul Skeens. We shouldn't be fooled into thinking that, you know, it's kind of a one-man rotation here for these guys. They've got some really good starting pitching. But again, for me, I guess right now, my overriding feeling is that, you know what, not the worst thing in the world to not see their best pitcher.
I think the most exciting starting pitcher in baseball right now will, in fact, be on the mound tonight, though. And his name is Dylan Cease, Jesse, and you get the chance to call now. I mean, after the first two starts of this run, it was like one of the best two-start runs in baseball history with 2 one-hitters. Then he threw a no-hitter in Washington, making it one of the best three-start runs in history. And then he followed that up with 3 hits and 1 run, making it one of the best four-start runs in Major League Baseball history. Can we go for 5, Jesse? And how fun is it to call Dylan Cease games right now?
It's really electric. I mean, you know, the last few years we would always say, right, Blake Snell might have the nastiest stuff of any left-hander in baseball. And I stand by that. I think that's true. I mean, Dylan Cease might right now have the nastiest stuff, just stuff-wise. That slider, the curveball, the explosive fastball of any right-handed pitcher in baseball. And the way, you know, in a sense, and this is oversimplifying it, I know, but almost like the way he has filled the Snell role on the Padre rotation is remarkable. You know, just like this guy who is capable of that every single time out, and Blake obviously pulled it off the other day in Cincinnati, and Dylan a few days before that. Like, it's pretty amazing, and I've said this a bunch of times on our broadcast and probably on your show too. You know, the way that A.J. Preller has injected talent into this rotation time and time again, you know, it seems like every year for the last like 4 or 5 years right now, is really remarkable, because as we all know, starting pitching is at an absolute premium in the sport. It is really hard to find at times. And, you know, in one off season, he added Musgrove, Snell, and Darvish. And then, you know, it was Waka and Lugo, and those guys leave and you're like, oh man, what's going to happen? And now you look at the years that Michael King and Dylan Cease are having, it's just remarkable. Like, it's not supposed to happen that easily. And I don't want to say it's easy, because it's hard for the baseball ops guys, I'm sure, to make the right calls and for Ruben Niebla to work with these guys and all that. But the strength that they have had from a starting pitching standpoint, with the amount of turnover that they've had on a starting pitching standpoint, is really remarkable. And you got to put Dylan up at the top of the list right now, as you said. I mean, it's just so fun to watch. And the cool thing is, about the run that you're talking about, right? Like the one hit, no runs, the one hit, no runs, and then the no hitter. Feels like that never actually happened. That's like the guy who hits in one at bat two long, like foul home runs, you know, as we say, and then he turns one around and actually hits it fair for a homer. Feels like that never actually happens, right? And like that was sort of what happened with Dylan Cease. You know, it was like, oh man, he's got no hit stuff. Oh man, he's got no hit stuff. And he actually threw the no hitter. Like, it didn't come out of nowhere. It was almost the logical progression of the way he had been pitching. And that's not usually the way this sport goes. Usually the sport is much dumber than that and much more hard to figure than that. And that's just how good and dominant he's been.
You know, as you were giving your answer, we're talking to Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, is in Pittsburgh. I couldn't help but think of the movie Moneyball, which, and no one's going to confuse the 2024 Padres, who have, you know, had one of the top payrolls in baseball the last few years, with the 2000s A's, but the scene in which they're trying to replace Jason Giambi, and they go through, Well, we got to replace him in the aggregate. And you look, how do you replace a Cy Young winner in Blake Snell and a talent like Juan Soto? And really, Jesse, the Padres have done it. I mean, you know, with Dylan Cease and, you know, Michael King, who also replaces, you know, his quirky interviews the day after with Don and Mudd like he does. And then with Jerickson Profar and Jackson Merrill producing in the outfield, they kind of have replaced all those numbers and then some in the aggregate from the guys that they lost last year.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to throw in Donovan Solano and David Peralta, yeah, too. I mean, I can't tell you how often I'm talking about this team with somebody, either somebody who works here or somebody from another team, and I start like raving about Donovan Solano. I know he's not playing a ton. First of all, though, just from like a how hard baseball is standpoint, the guy at one point, I had it written down the other day, I forget what it was, but like he had a 7-game hitting streak. I think it was something like it went back like 2.5 weeks, something like that, which is not supposed to happen, because when you're playing infrequently, it's hard to just sort of like, oh, I have a spot start. Oh, I have a pinch hit appearance. Oh, I'm coming off the bench in the sixth inning to play first base, whatever. Like, it's hard to get a hit doing all those things when you're not getting that consistent playing time. And he does. Like, he is the perfect avatar to me for, like, what is different about the 2024 team as compared to, you know, the last couple of years, is that you have a guy like that, you know, who could, you know, fill in when Xander was hurt. He was playing a lot. Or if you need a big pinch hit appearance. And I mean, we throw that thing professional at bat out there probably more often than we should, but boy, is he the perfect example of it. And like, you know, I'm not naming names, but like, think about some of the guys who came off the bench, you know, in recent years. And he's just at a different level. He really is. And like, great teams, and I do think this is a great team, great teams have a guy or guys like Donovan Solano on the roster who have been there. They have done that. They understand the assignment. They don't let the ego get in the way, but they still have all the talent, ability, and tenacity to come through in those situations. Like, it's just, I can't stop thinking about how important he is to this thing, even if he is, you know, at certain times only getting a handful of at-bats over the course of a week. And, like, so that goes to what you're saying, you know. It's this combination of all these guys put together. And, you know, it's also a perfect fit. The kind of at bat that he takes fits in perfectly with sort of like what the Padres are at their best offensively. And there's some real intent, I think, that has been used to sort of put this roster together, and it's working out really, really well.
The only thing I've kind of wished, especially in the past, you know, month and a half since Tatis has been out, is that Solano played the outfield, and you could create a Donovan Solano-David Peralta platoon of two veteran guys who just know what they're doing, good guys, right-handed, left-handed. I mean, you could even combine their names together, like Donovan Solarta or something, into your great, you know, platoon right fielder. But alas, they don't play the same position. You can't always work it out that way. But you got to add David Peralta to the mix there, and especially with what he did in that last game, Jesse. He has brought some important at bats and games for the Padres as well.
No doubt. I put him right in that same conversation, and I should have mentioned him more than I did. You know, again, and like, those are the kinds of guys that great teams have. You know, those are the kinds of producers you have off the bench. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned Fernando being out, and like, this is a very good reminder that, like, you know, this team is playing their best baseball of the year right now. They are. And they're doing so without one of their most talented, brilliant players out there. Again, that goes to the depth. That goes to the team concept. It goes to just sort of the structure of this whole thing. I mean, it's so much fun right now, you know, kind of like getting into these situations and watching it unfold different ways, different nights, and knowing, like, all right, they got a shot here. They really do. I mean, that first Dodger game last week, you know, you pecked away, gave up the early runs, pecked away. Manny homers, you're still down one in the ninth inning after the Machado home run. And, like, the confidence everybody seemed to have, they're like, oh, yeah, they're going to win this game. Like, that's so different, you know, certainly than last year when, you know, those games all went terribly for them. It's so much fun right now, and I've said this a bunch, and I'm not just, you know, saying it to, like, throw it out there and blow smoke. But, like, I think it's so important that we regularly remind ourselves. This is no disrespect to the pennant-winning teams, because obviously they accomplished something on the field that this group has not done yet. But I have no doubt, and it's not just my opinion, we are living right now in the best era of Padre baseball that has ever existed. And I don't know what is to come in September and October. I hope that we are playing deep into October. You know, I hope that Tony and I are dressed up for Halloween in the booth, you know, for game six of the World Series or something like that. But I mean, like, this is great right now. It's so much fun. I know there are boxes that need to be checked, but the fact that, like, we're having these kinds of conversations year in and year out, I'm having so much fun right now. And it's really, it's a special, special time.
Well, I heard you'll have Bob Scanlon by your side here on this road trip, which means that's who you're going to have to swing the Incorporator past today. And just like last week, we're going to keep with the theme and do song lyrics Incorporator. And this week, we've decided, probably a great idea, since you're in Pittsburgh, let's pick an artist from Pittsburgh. And I had no idea that this musician grew up, went to high school, North Allegheny High School in Pittsburgh. But here is this week's Song Lyric Incorporator. I am beautiful in every single way. Christina Aguilera, I am beautiful in every single way, Jesse. And we want the direct quote, if you can somehow work that in.
I am beautiful in every single way.
Now,
Bob's just going to be sitting there like, oh, somebody's full of themselves.
Yeah,
aren't
I
they?
Mean, you can work it into some sort of story or quote, however you'd like it, but that's your Incorporator lyric for this week.
I love it.
It was either that or Wiz Khalifa. So
yeah, we had to stretch to find an artist from Pittsburgh, but yeah, she went to North Allegheny High School. Yeah. So there you go, a little Christina Aguilera for you, Jesse, and have a good road trip. See you back in San Diego next week for a quick homestand, and Woodsy will be back next Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, but you'll finally get to talk to him next Tuesday.
Who's that? I'm not sure.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, you mean he's so out of sight, he's like a genie in a bottle.
Oh, he's going to nail
got that.
It tonight.
I even got that reference.
He is going
Thank
to
you, Jesse.
It.
Love you guys.
See you, buddy.
Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres and the Incorporator.
He's
playing
not,
along right
he
there.
He does not miss.
You know, he always says he's not really that musically inclined, but he did not miss a beat. Genie in a Bottle.
That was outstanding.
With the Christina Aguilera reference right there. So, yes, I am beautiful in every single way. Is that what we went with? I am beautiful. How do you work that into a baseball broadcast? We will find out tonight. Listen in. Starting at actually 3:40, actually more of an afternoon game on the West Coast, 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sammy Levitt. So your drive home, maybe make plans to try to get out of work early if you can, or secretly watch or listen on your phone this afternoon when the Padres get it going against Pittsburgh Pirates at 3:40 today to start a six-game road trip. All right, we'll come back. Hopefully we'll play a little take on John, try to qualify someone for our new trip to Las Vegas to see Carrie Underwood at Resorts World. All coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.